Harper Audio presents Wuthering Heights by Emily Bronte. The New York Times says of this recording, several stars have joined voices, dividing up passages from a classic work of fiction to compelling effect.
In the morning, at the first gleam of dawn, I left Wuthering Heights and returned through the snow to Thrushcross Grange. That evening I desired Mrs. Dean, my housekeeper, when she brought in supper, to sit down while I ate it, hoping sincerely she would prove a regular gossip. "Well, Mrs. Dean, it will be a charitable deed to tell me something of my neighbors. I feel I shall not rest if I go to bed, so be good enough to sit and chat an hour."
"Oh, certainly, sir. I have with me here a little sewing to do, so I'll sit as long as you please. Before I came to live here, I was almost always at Wuthering Heights because my mother had nursed Mr. Hindley Earnshaw. That was Harriton's father, and I got used to playing with the children. One fine summer morning, it was the beginning of harvest, I remember, Mr. Earnshaw, the old master, came downstairs dressed for a journey, and after he had told Joseph what was to be done during the day, he turned to Hindley and Kathy and me, for I sat eating my porridge with them, and he said, speaking to his son, 'Now, my bonny man, I'm going to Liverpool today. What shall I bring you? You may choose whatever you like, only let it be little, for I shall walk there and back 60 miles each way, and that is a long spell.' Hindley named a fiddle, and then he asked Miss Cathy, she was barely 6 years old, but she could ride any horse in the stable, and she chose a whip. It seemed a long while to us all, 3 days of his absence, and often did little Cathy ask when he would be home. Mrs. Earnshaw expected him by supper time on the third evening, and she put off the meal hour after hour. There were no signs of his coming, however, and at last the children got tired of running down to the gate to look. Then it grew dark. She would have had them to bed, but they begged sadly to be allowed to stay up, and just about 11 o'clock, the door latch was raised quietly, and in stepped the master. He threw himself into a chair, laughing and groaning, and said, opening his great coat, which he had held bundled up in his arms, 'See here, wife, I was never so beaten with anything in my life, but you must take it as a gift of God, though it's as dark almost as if it came from the devil.' We crowded round, and over Miss Cathy's head, I had a peep at a dirty, ragged, black-haired child, big enough both to walk and talk, indeed. Its face looked older than Catherine's, yet when it was set on its feet, it only stared round and repeated over and over again some gibberish that nobody could understand. I was frightened, and Mrs. Earnshaw was ready to fling it out of doors. She did fly up, asking how he could fashion to bring that gypsy brat into the house when they had their own bairns to feed and fend for, what he meant to do with it, and whether he were mad. The master tried to explain the matter, but he was really half dead with fatigue, and all that I could make out, amongst her scolding, was a tale of his seeing it starving and houseless and as good as dumb in the streets of Liverpool, where he picked it up and inquired for its owner. Not a soul knew to whom it belonged, and he was determined he would not leave it as he found it. Well, the conclusion was that Mr. Earnshaw told me to wash it and give it clean things and let it sleep with the children. Hindley and Cathy contented themselves with looking and listening till peace was restored. Then both began searching their father's pockets for the presents he had promised them. The former was a boy of 14, but when he drew out what had been a fiddle, crushed to morsels in the greatcoat, he blubbered aloud, and Cathy, when she learnt the master had lost her whip in attending on the stranger, showed her humour by grinning and spitting at the stupid little thing, earning for her pains a sound blow from her father to teach her cleaner manners. They entirely refused to have it in bed with them, or even in their room, and I had no more sense, so I put it on the landing of the stairs, hoping it might be gone on the morrow. By chance, or else attracted by hearing his voice, it crept to Mr. Earnshaw's door, and there he found it on quitting his chamber. Inquiries were made as to how it got there. I was obliged to confess, and in recompense for my cowardice and inhumanity, was sent out of the house. This was Heathcliff's first introduction to the family. On coming back a few days afterwards, for I did not consider my banishment perpetual, Heathcliff bore his degradation pretty well at first, because Cathy taught him what she learnt, and worked or played with him in the fields. They both promised fair to grow up as rude as savages, the young master being entirely negligent how they behaved or what they did, so they kept clear of him. He would not even have seen after their going to church on Sundays, only Joseph and the curate reprimanded his carelessness when they absented themselves, and that reminded him to order Heathcliff a flogging and Catherine a fast from dinner or supper. But it was one of their chief amusements to run away to the moors in the morning and remain there all day, and the after punishment grew a mere thing to laugh at. One Sunday evening, it chanced that they were banished from the sitting room for making a noise or a light offence of the kind, and when I went to call them to supper, I could discover them nowhere. Hindley, in a passion, told us to bolt the doors and swore nobody should let them in that night. The household went to bed. In a while, I distinguished steps coming up the road and the light of a lantern glimmering through the gate. I threw a shawl over my head and ran to prevent them from waking Mr. Earnshaw by knocking. There was Heathcliff by himself. It gave me a start to see him alone. Where's Miss Catherine? No accident, I hope.
At Thrushcross Grange, and I would have been there too, but they had not the manners to ask me to stay.
Well, you will catch it. You'll never be content till you're sent about your business. What in the world led you wandering to Thrushcross Grange?
Cathy and I escaped from the washhouse to have a ramble at liberty. Getting a glimpse of the Grange lights, we thought we'd just go and see whether the Lintons passed their Sunday evenings standing shivering in corners, while their father and mother sat eating and drinking and singing and laughing and burning their eyes out before the fire. Do you think they do? Or reading sermons and being catechized by their manservant and set to learn a column of scripture names if they don't answer properly?
Probably not. They're good children, no doubt, and don't deserve the treatment you receive for your bad conduct.
Don't you count, Nellie. Nonsense. We crept through a broken hedge, groped our way up the path, and planted ourselves on a flower pot under the drawing-room window. Both of us were able to look in by standing on the basement and clinging to the ledge, and we saw, oh, it was beautiful, a splendid place carpeted with crimson, and crimson-covered chairs and tables, and a pure white ceiling bordered by gold, a shower of glass drops hanging in silver chains from the centre and shimmering with little soft tapers. Old Mr. and Mrs. Linton were not there. Edgar and his sister had it entirely to themselves. Shouldn't they have been happy? We should have thought ourselves in heaven. And now, guess what your good children were doing? Isabella, I believe she is 11, a year younger than Cathy, lay screaming at the further end of the room, shrieking as if witches were running red-hot needles into her. Edgar stood on the hearth, weeping silently, and in the middle of the table sat a little dog shaking its paw and yelping, which, from their mutual accusations, we understood they had nearly pulled in two between them, the idiots. That was their pleasure, to quarrel who should hold a heap of warm fur, and each begin to cry because both, after struggling to get it, refused to take it. We laughed outright at the petted things. We did despise them. When would you catch me wishing to have what Catherine wanted, or find us by ourselves seeking entertainment in yelling and sobbing and rolling on the ground, divided by the whole room?
HarperCollins is the copyright owner of this recording. HarperCollins has consented to a limited distribution of Harper Audio as an 8 kHz computer sound file on Internet Town Hall. It is a violation of United States and international copyright law to copy these recordings in any other way. Harper Audio is a trademark of HarperCollins Publishers, Inc. To order a copy of this tape or to request a catalog of all Harper Audio spoken word cassettes, please call 1-800-C-HARPER or 717-941-1214. Or send mail to harper@town.hall.org. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service. Support for Harper Audio has been provided by HarperCollins and by Sun Microsystems and O'Reilly and Associates. Network connectivity provided by UUNet Technologies and by MFS DataNet.